This is WFAE's mayoral election temporary podcast that we're going to call the 15th floor. I'm Ben Bradford. I'm a WFAE reporter. Here with me is Tom Bullock,
our
money and influence reporter. Right, Tom?
That's right. And I know. Election just ended. 2014 midterm elections. There's an election next year. You might have heard of the general election. But sandwiched right smack in the middle is 2015. And that's our municipal elections. And what do we got?
This is mayor, city council, people on the Board of Education, those kind of things there. But what we're concentrating on is the mayor, because it's a hot race this year. There's as much as any kind of local election can be.
Absolutely.
You know, 8 candidates, 2 Republicans and 6 Democrats. 3 of them are currently on the city council. 1 is already a heavyweight fundraiser. So today what we're going to do is just kind of go through some of how we're going to cover this and what we'll be looking at. And one of the first things that I think that it's interesting to both of us, Tom, is that, you know, the mayor is a really kind of a funny position to get to draw this
totally.
Much heat. Why is that?
Well, it's here in Charlotte. I mean, it's actually called a weak mayor system of government. The mayor has very little powers on the surface of it, right? They can vote in the case of a tie, but there are 11 members on the city council. So that makes ties really rare. They can make some appointments. They can give some speeches. They do have input in the city, though. This race really does matter. And if you look at it, look at our last, 3 mayors? One is Secretary of Transportation. Another one is the governor
And the third's in prison.
And the third's in prison. So clearly there's at least 2 paths after you become governor of Charlotte. But it is a race that really matters. So we want to dig into it. But we don't want to just play stump speeches. And we don't want to really just, you know, kind of do the usual stock thing. So what are we going to do?
We're doing a few things. One is that we are going to interview every candidate or near enough to every candidate.
We are inviting every candidate to do the same thing, and we'll set a deadline. That's the only reason a declared candidate would not be included.
Right, and essentially come in here, and we're gonna talk to them for about 15 minutes. We're gonna post them right here where this is posted, and so you can listen to those interviews. We'll give you rundowns of who these people are, and you know, I think that one of the things that we'll probably start with that question about. Why do you want to be the weak mayor?
Especially when we've got 3 sitting city council members who actually, you could argue, have more influence over the city where they're at right now.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of issues that that this person is going to have to lead the city council through, and you know that includes at a time when the budget should be growing as we've emerged from the recession, the economy is growing. What we've actually seen is the largest single year deficit in the city's budget, and that has to do with this year. It had to do partially with some property tax problems.
Thank you, Mecklenburg County.
Right. And then also, and this is the more kind of long-term concern that whoever is mayor is going to have to be dealing with, is the General Assembly.
That's right. And the General Assembly seems pretty set on changing the way that state funds, and particularly sales tax, there are other ones, but sales tax is the big thing, how it gets distributed to cities. And we're looking here in Charlotte at taking a major budget hit. So we're going to talk to all of these candidates to ask things like, why do you want to be mayor? How would you fix these budget issues? What are the spending priorities? And, you know, something that's headlines right now, whether it's because it goes its first mile and a half or because it hits an SUV that was obeying a traffic light, the streetcar, and other transportation issues. You know, toll lanes are becoming a reality. Should they be? These are all the kinds of questions that we will ask each and every one of these candidates and try to boil it down into a nice, digestible section that you get to listen to at your leisure and get a better sense of who these people are.
Yeah, and in the meantime, there's, you know, other things like we have the Randall Carrick trial right now, a white police officer who shot an unarmed black man. Obviously, this resonates with other things that have been happening around the country. Same time, studies showing that Charlotte is the least economically mobile city. If you start out poor in Charlotte, you are more likely to stay poor in Charlotte than to rise up into other income levels than in any other city,
any
major city in America.
Yeah.
So, what do we do about that? You know, what do they want to do? And considering the powers that they have, how do you go about addressing that? How do you work with other people?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll look at all those kinds of things. And the candidates who are in here, I mean, it's kind of an interesting mix. You know, you mentioned that there are some of the We have several sitting city councilmen. One of them, of course, is the current mayor, Dan Klotfelter, mm-hmm. who was appointed after Patrick Cannon was arrested, resigned, FBI sting operation, bags of cash in office.
And it's funny, too, because it's a little conversation we've had in the newsroom. What exactly do we call his campaign? He's not running for re-election because he was appointed, so he's running for election, but he's an incumbent running for election for the first time. It makes it a little tricky.
And there's a really interesting thing about Klotfelter. There's already a little bit of controversy about him running.
Exactly right. If you go back and you think what he first told all of us, including myself when I interviewed him when he took the office, he said, I would not run for mayor unless everybody on the city council thought that I was doing a great job and they supported it. Well, we're going to ask everybody on the city council to find out if that's true. But I'm willing to bet right now that it's probably not the case, since, as Ben said, you already have, you know, Michael Barnes and David Howard declared to run for mayor. I'm pretty sure they would have been happy to let an incumbent sit that one out.
That's right. And Barnes is the most the longest tenured current city councilman there. He's the mayor pro tem, which is the number two position. He basically takes the gavel when Klotfelter can't do it or isn't there. And at the same time, he gets a vote. He's also probably the most conservative Democrat, maybe the second most conservative Democrat next to Claire Fallon, but certainly one of the most, and has broken away from other Democrats, from former Mayor Anthony Fox. You talked about the streetcar. Mm-hmm. He opposed that. He voted against the current budget, which had a property tax increase in there that was to try to offset some of the lost revenue from business revenue. So he's an interesting guy. On the other hand, you've got David Howard, who's far more left. And so
big advocate for affordable housing and economic mobility.
He works in affordable housing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been there for at least the last few terms. That'll be an interesting dynamic. You know, we've been watching city council meetings while they're on there, and occasionally you see them sort of starting to stake out their positions.
They get a little bristly, and not to ignore the Republicans in the race. We do have two Republicans that are interesting: Scott Stone, who is a businessman here in Charlotte, who has already thrown his name in the hat, and Edwin Peacock III, who of course lost to Patrick Cannon by about actually less than 6,000 votes. So he's going to, again, try to run for mayor. And actually, you know, Peacock has an interesting fact. He is the last Republican elected at large for the Charlotte City Council. And frankly, you know, that includes, you know, there hasn't been a Republican that's been mayor since then. And, you know, he should be a very interesting one to watch.
He's a good fundraiser. He raised far more money than Cannon did in the last election cycle. Has already started. There's a pretty funny video that he released. I came across when I was doing my streetcar. I was doing the story about the opening of the streetcar. He's a big opponent of the streetcar, mm-hmm. and made that an issue last campaign. I expect he'll make it an issue again because he's already got the campaign video.
We know he will. He's told us that he will.
Yeah, and essentially, yeah, going to hammer people on that. So that'll be interesting. And then you also have, and this is pretty amazing, you have Jennifer Roberts, who is the former Mecklenburg County Commission chair. She was a longtime county commissioner who, instead of running for re-election in 2012, instead ran for Congress and ran against Robert Pittenger, who was the Republican candidate who ultimately won. She lost by she got 46% of the vote. And but she is off to a monumental fundraising start and is treating this, it looks like a national campaign. This does not look like a city mayor campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, when we call these most of the mayoral candidates, you know, you end up talking to the mayoral candidates and setting up with them. Hey, when do you want to come in? When do you want to do this? No, communications director there. She's hired, a consulting firm out of Chicago to help this with the campaign. A suite of social media and online tools that are used by Senate races and those kinds of things, and has a huge fundraising advantage right now,
which is about $300,000, I believe, is how much she reported in the first reporting period.
Off the top of my head, that is somewhere in the ballpark of the total fundraising amount from last time.
Yeah, it's significant, and you have to ask yourself too, like who wants to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to get a job, which, again, officially has very little power and has an annual salary of $23,000. But that's what all of these candidates want.
Yeah, it's a part-time job.
It's a part-time job. And that's what all of these people want. And that's what we're going to try to dig into and bring to you here on the 15th floor. And one thing we're going to make sure
which is the name of the podcast.
Which
that's
is
not where
podcast.
We're talking to you from. We're talking to you from a basement.
Hey, that's true. We are the SB floor sub-basement. But the podcast, again, the 15th floor. And Ben came up with a really cool idea that we're going to end all of these podcasts with to make sure that you get these candidates just boiled right down to the facts. Why don't you tell them what it is?
Oh, yeah. It's a super cool idea. Wow.
It's hey,
really,
like it.
Really exciting. No, you're going to be able to hear at the end. We'll get their 30-second elevator pitch on – all right. You know, we're going to talk to them. We're going to go through all the questions and talk about, you know, some tough stuff and, you know, try to kind of hold their feet to the fire and all those kind of things that hopefully you expect from us. And then at the end, yeah, ask them, all right, 30 seconds. What's your pitch? How are you different? And we'll see what they say. And I'm excited to get onto this.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, I think that's a good introduction for what we're going to do. Is there anything else that you want to mention before we go?
Sure. The last thing I would say is don't worry. We are going to focus on other races as well. And if you do like this podcast, let us know. We can start using it for other things too. If you don't, then that's okay. You're probably not listening at this point.
Right. Right. And Tom will leak your cell phone number. That's it for our first little introduction to 15th Floor.
Thanks.